everybody's here that's going to be here for the time being, so we'll make a start. Item one on the agenda, the emergency evacuation procedure for the benefit of Holly. I think everybody else knows where that is. If a fire alarm does go off, there is an exit door over here and another one through the foyer, and the facilities are out there as well. The ladies are out in the corridor in case you've not been to the building before. And can I just say welcome? Thank you very much for coming to the meeting this evening. Apologies for absence. I don't think we've got any this evening, but Councillor Duncan is going to be slightly late. Item three, minutes of the meeting held on the 16th of February, which you should have in your pack, pages 3 to 6. Do we have any comments on accuracy of those minutes? If not, I will move their acceptance from the chair. Do you want a minute to have a look? Councillor Gardner? No, you're seconding. Right, okay. All those in favour of acceptance of the minutes, then please show. Thank you. Okay. That's carried. Thank you. Item four, urgent business. I have no urgent business this evening. So item five, declarations of interest. Please can members indicate whether they will be declaring any interest under the code of conduct, please, on items on the agenda this evening. No? Okay. Thank you. So we'll move swiftly on to item 7, which is the Safer Rydale update, which is on pages 7 to 20, which Joss is going to present to us. Thank you.
Good evening, members, and we'll start our report this evening with some comments from Holly Hornsby, who's going to just run through the latest figures, crime statistics for the area. And then I'm just going to run through with you the Joint Strategic Intelligence Assessment, which is actually a restricted document the police produce, and we bring this to the Scrutiny Committee every year. It has just slightly changed its status. It's got the word official on the top, but I did double check. It is actually still a restricted document, which means that I'm going to give it out to you, we'll chat through it, and then I'm going to collect it back in. And then I'm going to run through very quickly the draft delivery plan that's in your agenda. And I'd welcome any comments from you that we can take to the next Safer Rydale meeting where that plan will be confirmed. Okay, so I'll just pass you over to Holly.
Good evening, everybody. I've come on behalf of our sergeant and our inspector. They were unable to make it tonight. So I'm going to give you a bit of a brief overview of what I've got in front of me. Okay. So in terms of crime figures, so the most recent report we've got is to the end of February this year. So we're down by 53 crimes in total for the area. We have seen an increase in recorded sexual offences crimes, but that's because the recording rules around children and mobile phones and instances with, as it were, sexting get recorded as a sexual offence. That will drop off because there's some new guidance for schools where they're going to now start dealing with it rather than ring us. So that's where the rise in the sexual offences comes from. So we haven't got any sort of massive sexual predators or anything like that. It's just with the rise of mobile phones and children and those sorts of instances. We're down with thefts. We're down by 31 thefts compared to this time last year. We're down violence with injury, so that's any sort of assault that's resulted in any sort of injury, is down by 52 crimes. So all that is a very positive, again, like I say, down by 53 in total, but sort of addressing the ones that would maybe be cause for concern if people saw the figures and they're explaining the reasons why for those. Okay. We're in a process of change, really, and we're going to be getting a new inspector for our Safer Neighbourhoods team within the next week. We should know, week or 2 weeks, we should know who that is. So Simon Jolly, unfortunately, isn't going to be with us much longer. So we're in a bit of a process of change because our sergeant got promoted, so we're going to be getting a new sergeant. So we're in a bit of a process of change at the moment. So things are kind of a bit up in the air, I think, as they are in lots of other places as well. There's going to be a little bit of change with the way we work, probably a little bit more. But we've met all our new town team members from the council. We've had a good interaction with those. So in time we'll get there. We will get there. So we know who we're dealing with in the council now with our town teams for multi-agency working. Just a bit of good news. So we had a good result. Some good results recently. I don't know if you saw in any media that there was some thefts of purses from churches in the local area. I don't know if anyone's aware of that, but we managed to catch the person responsible for that. He was going into churches and stealing purses when people were sort of going outside. So we did a little bit of work with the AMPR, the automatic number plate recognition systems, which we've got dotted all over the county, the cameras that pick up the number plates. We did a little bit of detailed digging work with that, and we managed to find out it was on cloned number plates, and we got him stopped, and he was arrested for those offences and some other offences outside of our area also. So that was a really, really good result. We've had some good results with our rural watch scheme, where local farmers come out with our police officer, Nick Conan, and do what we title poacher patrols. So they go out to the early hours and they look for suspicious vehicles, suspicious people. We use the local farmers because of their local knowledge, really. And we've had some good results with that, with a report for summons for a poacher who caused some criminal damage to a vehicle. So we're waiting that result in court at the moment. So that was quite positive. Recently, in the last week, we've had a discovery of several stolen agricultural vehicles, and that's an ongoing investigation, so I'm not going to say too much about that, but there was a report of a stolen vehicle, and it tracked back to a farm just outside of Moulton, and once they went there, they found numerous stolen tractors and agricultural vehicles. That's an ongoing investigation at the moment. Two people were arrested for that. So that was a really, really good result, because some of those were dating back to 2013, 2014. So that was a good result. We've also had, last Friday just gone, we had a drugs operation where we had a drugs dog come into Moulton and into Pickering and went on to 5 licensed premises. So basically, we had a team of people and a drugs dog, a passive drugs dog. So the dog walks, takes a natural path around the licensed premises, and would sit and stop at anybody where it sort of had sniffed or recognised drugs. And the dogs are actually quite sensitive. They can pick up traces. So if somebody's had some in the pocket, taken it maybe a couple of days ago, or in a couple of hours, it can pick it up. So we had some really good results from that. We did the gate in Moulton, the George in Moulton, and the Royal Oak in Moulton, and we got 5 people searched out of those premises in total. Unfortunately, they didn't have anything on them, but the dog handler assured us that it was a definite positive indicator that they would have done at some point during that night. And then we went to Pickering, we did the lettered board and bar number 4, the wine bar in the centre of town, and we got 4 people in total out of those. Again, unfortunately, nobody had anything on them, but again, an indicator from the dog that they would have had something on them at some point that night. All the licensed premises were quite positive about us going in. There was no sort of like resistance from them. They were quite pleased to see us, to be quite honest. And licensing checks were undertaken at those visits to those premises, and they all came back absolutely fine. So it was a good night. It was there was a good amount of staff, and I think there was about 12 of us out in force that night, as well as our not ordinary staff. So we have been doing quite a bit of proactive work, and hopefully as the summer months come on, we'll get to do a little bit more of that. So that's where we're at the moment. We've got a temporary sergeant in the interim while Donna's acting inspector. We've got Sergeant Darren Coles at the moment, so we're hoping to keep him for a bit longer with any luck. That's where we're at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Holly. That's greatly appreciated, just for a quick update. Do we have any questions from members? Oh, quite a few. Councillor Cousins, we'll go around the table.
about the there seems to be this farm gate selling of produce and stuff. You seem to have one man running about with one leg. It's causing a bit of a problem.
Sorry, they're selling of what, sorry?
These farm gate sales of eggs and such like.
Right, yes.
And there seems to be someone that's about with a vehicle, and I think he has one leg, they tell us.
Right, I wasn't aware of that. That's not something I'm aware
of. Quite a burly man.
Right. Yeah, right. What's he doing?
He seems to be emptying their boxes.
Oh, right, okay. We haven't had anyone report that to us, as far as I'm aware, unless it's... I cover Pickering, so I cover the Northern Rydale, so unless it's sort of come down...
I would think you should have had him by now. I think you'll have had him on the cards sometime.
Right, okay.
I was shocked that he just has one leg, actually.
Right, okay. I'll look into that one.
Well, it seems to be causing problem. If you've got him, see him about anywhere.
Right.
He must be followed.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Whether he's doing actually the job or he's just ticking his friend off, what's the matter?
Do you know where that's been happening?
But he has been up in Farndale.
Right.
And various spots in Nunnington.
Okay.
He did live once over at Sherburn. He's there for so long and then he moves on, and his vehicle, he used to have lights on the top at the front.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not something I'm aware of. It's not something that's been brought.
At the moment he seems to have got a smaller people carrier.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Cousins. Councillor Gardner, did you have a...
No.
No, oh, sorry. Councillor Sanderson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Holly, for your report. As you can imagine, what concerns me in what...
Safeguarding sexual offences. I'm always concerned about this when we say... that they've risen, the numbers, because of sexting. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it? And so that the numbers have gone up, but there's an evidenced reason for this, and this is because sexting now has become an offence and that the schools are dealing with that.
Mm.
And I think, I'm sure that's the case. I'm positive that's the case.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very easy ticket to hide behind with regard to sexual offence in children. So I did ask for the figures, and it says that up to date the number has risen up to 83 in Rydale.
Mm.
And of those, 29 are linked to images being sent by children to sexting. So that still leaves quite a big proportion that aren't actually linked to that sexting.
There are, obviously without going into too much detail, there are some historical sexual offences investigations ongoing in certain parts of the county. So that they will account for some of them as well, but that is an ongoing investigation. That's not something we're dealing with. That's a team higher up than me, so that is not my place to say, but I am aware that there are some historical sexual offences, and by historical we're talking some time ago, that will add to those figures. And unfortunately what happens is those figures, the crime is put on in that month, so it lifts our figures for that month.
I understand all this. I sit on the safeguarding board, but I think it's still a very easy figure to hide behind. And I think for this committee here to be able to scrutinise those remarks, first of all, we need the evidence to come to us beforehand so we can look at it. We need to know what is historic crimes, what is the new sexting, and what is actually going up. Because without those figures taken out, we can't see the trends, and we're just sitting here taking what somebody says without being able to scrutinise it, and I think it's quite a serious matter in Rydale.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Jowett, next.
I think last year, this time, if I remember correctly, there was one of the increases in thefts was due to a large increase in crime around the horse fair is that the reason that they've come down again this year because those figures have dropped out, or is this something completely different?
We're in the planning stage for the scene horse fair at the moment.
That's not included at the minute because we haven't got there yet for this year. But the horse fair kind of does more, goes towards Scarborough, really. We have had, in terms of theft, there was a spate of burglaries in the Norton area, but that was down to two individuals, and they were the same individuals committing the same burglaries, and a bit of proactive work was done with that, and then they were arrested. So in terms of the horse fair, it could be that the horse fair last year, to be fair, the last couple of years has actually been quite a lot smaller than it has been in previous years. I know, having worked it myself, we haven't had as many in the last couple of years, so that may be contributing to why the figures have been down, possibly.
May I just make a comment on that as well? Thank you. Every year, we have quite an extensive planning programme jointly with the police and the local community around what we call the Napton Transition Camp, so where our travellers stop in Rydale before they enter the horse fair. And the police have done a number of studies on crime in the area and found absolutely no correlation between any crime spike and the travellers being in the area. So I think it's very important that we put that on the record. And where there are crimes that are investigated, some of them are false reports of crime, where people are saying, oh, there's travellers in my playground wrecking it, and the police are watching that person whilst they're making the phone call, and it's a false allegation. We've had a case of that. And there's also cases where people are dumping rubbish and then thinking that they can blame it on the community that's travelling through. So we do have to be really careful about any crime spikes in the area and associating that with that particular community. And as I say, the police have investigated that very thoroughly over the last few years and found that there is no correlation between crime spikes and the travellers staying in Rydale.
Thank you. I'm aware that last time the police, I can't remember who came now, it was one of the things, I can't remember whether it was a sergeant or an inspector, but it was saying it's not so much to do with the fact that the horse fairs, who was at the horse fair, it was, I think he was saying that it was, some of it at least was to do with people that were coming in, seemed to be coming into the area on the back of what was going on. But nevertheless, those, at the time, it was reported that the number of crimes had gone up in at that time. So I just wondered if this was, and I think I've had the answer, but I'm not blaming necessarily the people that are coming to the fair, but just the fact that it's going on at the same time. So,
I'll just come back in. To be fair, there was a particular serious incident of antisocial behaviour around Gampton. That was last year, and that was due to some travellers that were coming from the south up to the horse fair. And that was dealt with by the police at the time. So, having said there wasn't a crime spike, there was one particularly bad incident in Ganton. So, I just hope to just set the record straight on that one.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Potter?
Thank you. Are we, just first question, are we going on to cover this Safer Rydale update risk matrix separately? Right, that's okay. Right, first question is, it says funding target hardening projects. Can somebody explain what funding target hardening projects is, please?
Right on the first page.
Yeah, is that in the body of the report?
Yes.
I would prefer it if I could maybe just present the report and then just take questions afterwards. Is that okay? Thank you.
Yeah, there is one. What period of time is your report covering? Is it a complete calendar year?
It goes April to April. Yeah, so it's today. It's up to the end of February.
I didn't have an up-to-date one. to the to today's date, as it were.
So it's only a couple of days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the end of February. So it's a few couple few weeks. It's a few weeks out. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Before you go on to your report, Joss, we didn't move exempt for the exempt papers, so we do need to do that. Could I move exempt? Sorry. Oh, sorry. Have we got another question? Jeez, Councillor Wainwright, I didn't see you.
Sorry. For information, really, do you have any update on the crime that was committed, or crimes that were committed perhaps 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Monday evening? Licensed premises were entered along the street, so from Hovingham to Cresswell Arms at Appleton Street down to Hapton. Quite a number of premises were entered, and quite a lot of material was taken. Any update on that? You found anybody?
They've not identified anybody as yet. My understanding is that inquiries are ongoing, and that involves speaking with other forces around the country, because what we can do is we can give them the information we've got. We've got some CCTV that's been sort of interrogated at the moment, and all the information's been passed on to other forces to see if there's anyone with a similar MO in their area that could link it to. To link it to the ones in our area. We do believe it was just one person, or it was the same people that have done them all. They've gone across the route they've gone across to do the ones down to Hovingham, I think was the last one that they've done. So yes, the investigation is very much ongoing, and is now including several other forces to try and glean some more information. Unfortunately, the CCTV that was seized from one of the pubs, forgive me, I can't remember which one it was, unfortunately, the picture isn't clear enough to get an identification. There is a picture of a face, but obviously, unfortunately, unlike CSI on the telly, we can't make it bigger and dot it and then change it. So we've kind of got to go with what we've got, really. But that is an ongoing investigation, and they are following several leads of that at the moment.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we've got everybody now. Yeah. Okay, so could I move exempt from the chair, please? And could I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Gardner. Could we please vote on that? All those in favour? That's unanimous, thank you. Sorry, Joss.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on now to agenda item 8, delivering the council plan, which Claire is going to briefly introduce.
Thank
pages
you.
21 to 28.
Thank you.
Members will now be very familiar with the format of this report, just as I attempt to change it. Members may have noticed... No, you won't have noticed. Oh, well, you have noticed. Oh, you may have noticed. Anyway, plan on a page, council plan report, went to PNR along with this report, and the reporting on the council plan is going to be different in future, so just to sort of give some warning of that. But one question that was asked about this report was what happens to all of this data then, because actually it's very interesting. And actually all of this data lives either on our website or on publicly available websites. So what we will be doing is actually making this information still available to members, but just not necessarily reporting in this way on it. It's quite a time-consuming way of reporting performance information. It's very hard to do a good narrative across this many indicators. So I'm happy to take any questions on this report as it stands in front of you. What I would like to say is I think a lot of our performance is looking very strong and very good. But just as an example of where this isn't necessarily the most effective way to report to you, all of the economic... success, the first priority indicators, are actually taken directly from a NOMIS website that has all of this data on it, and we simply put it into our system and then report it back out. And that, I think in a way for members, it might be more interesting for us to give you some training on how to actually look at the source data, because there's more of it and you can actually interpret it, look at it over time. So just to give you a bit of a heads up on the fact that the way we report the council plan will be changing going forward. But if there are any questions on this, I am very happy to take them. if I can't answer them now, I'll get responses for you.
Okay, thank you, Claire. Do we have any questions on the plan? Councillor Potter?
Yeah, how long is it since we were looking at this? Because it looks awfully familiar.
I think it comes every time. This comes every time, I think. It certainly goes to P&R every time, and then it comes to here every time it goes to P&R. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it comes to scrutiny every time. It doesn't go to audit every time.
Well, I sort of looked through it and thought of some questions. I thought, I'm sure I asked them not long ago.
Well, if I could just come back on that, I would actually agree with you, because quite a lot of the indicators on this have to be, because of their very nature, annual. And so actually there's no change in the data, and some of that's actually a year behind as well. So we are looking at actually something slightly more dynamic in terms of the council's performance. Quite a lot of these indicators are actually about what's happening out there. It's the impact of what we're doing. So we'll certainly make sure that information is still available to you, but we do want to work quite hard at actually doing performance reporting quite differently. Don't we, Will?
Yes, dear. There's just one here that I don't think I questioned before. It's on the housing need, the first point, and it says there are still delays with universal credit up to 6 weeks for new claims. So I've actually heard about a few people really suffering because there's this 6-week gap where nothing apparently is happening. How are we getting the money to them? Is this just a sort of quick...
No, the principle of universal credit is that everyone has a 6-week wait, minimum. And I would highlight minimum because it isn't our system, it's the DWP system, which we happen to have gone full service with in Rydell very early. I actually think ultimately that may position our residents in a better place because all the agencies will be working around that. There is very little we can do about that. We are in communication with the DWP regularly about how this implementation has gone from their point of view. I'll say no more about that. It is having quite an impact. The work around universal credit for our team is huge, actually. It's meant to be live data transfer, but actually we don't get data in a way that we can... It's not automated data, whereas we've been working with automatic transfer of local authority data from, for example, HMRC, for quite a few years, and we implemented that very early. So that is an automatic transfer of data. So whilst we still have to do some work with it and do some checking on it, it's there. This is nothing like that. It's so much work. And also, there's an awful lot of work on supporting people, obviously, because of the impact of the way it's been implemented as well. But it is early days for the implementation of Universal Credit, and it wasn't a choice for us to go live. We were selected to be an early site for that.
I presume people are actually able to get some money, because whereas most of us can possibly last 6 weeks without any income, these are the sort of people who've got literally nothing. So is there a stop?
There is an emergency fund which the County Council runs, which we don't have any link to, so that I'm not entirely clear how that operates. But I actually did a report. I did a feedback report for the members of P&R because they'd asked some questions around this. So what I'll do is I'll actually send it round to you, because it's got some interesting feedback from the CAB, particularly around food banks. And I think there's a pattern. People may know more about this than I do, but I think there's a pattern that people who are using food banks at the moment are using them with a lot of return visits for a period of time to cover this type of window. And also, there is some other information in there, I think, about rent arrears, but I know that the housing association, all housing associations in full UC areas, are having issues with rent arrears because obviously people aren't getting the payment to actually pay for the rental. Now, there are things we can do to help with that in terms of short-term discretionary housing payments, and we do work with people on that, and we do give under contract to the DWP, we do give budgeting advice as well to people. So we will I don't know how to signpost into the county, but people here do. And so we make sure we signpost into that type of emergency fund, but also into any other sort of support that's available as well for them.
Yeah, sorry, I have got another one. On net, just below that, two below that, net additional homes provided. And current value 245, current target 200. So I'm trying to think. So presumably, have we delivered over already, or we've got a 20% reduction?
The annual target, which is all linked in with the Rydell plan, the local development framework, over the years of the plan. So we have that target of 200, and we over-delivered in 15-16 on that. And it is an annual figure, and it is lumpy, so looking at it monthly just doesn't really make very much sense, because it comes in chunks. There's no point doing a year-on-year comparison through the year from month by month, because it's so lumpy in how the numbers come in. But we should have that one quite soon.
And I definitely remember you asking that question before, Councillor Potter. Councillor Jowett.
Just first of all, a follow-on from what Mike was asking. I did hear a while back of somebody who was a chef who was in very intermittent work, and he'd get maybe 2 or 3 days' work. He wanted to work. He was getting 2 or 3 days' work, and then he was getting 4 weeks of unemployment, followed by 2 or 3 days' work. It was more or less on starvation. I mean, is that something which you're aware of? Not with that person, but is that something that happens in this area?
People are in it. Part of the reason why I think, in theory, and when universal credit works to its full, to its best, the theory behind it is that it's actually beneficial to people who are in and out of work, which is the pattern of work for an awful lot of people in this area. So in theory, it should be beneficial to people, because what used to happen was every time you worked, you came out of claim for unemployment benefit and for housing benefit. Now, under universal credit and the various different, I think it's 7 legacy benefits, they call it, that go into it, and unemployment related benefits is one of those, and also, and so is housing benefit, you actually stay in claim. And if you go into work, you actually stay in claim, so that you can pick up at any time. You don't have to go through the 6 weeks again. Straight away, that lasts for 6 months after you're in employment as well. So potentially it's beneficial to people with that type of working practice. It's the initial setup that's proving problematic for people.
And my main question really is, can you just clarify what I think you've told me? We're going to get this report somehow automatically, but not necessarily be discussing it. And what you're proposing as putting forward as the new plan is some sort of completely different. It's looking in a completely different direction at how the council's working, rather than these factors are working. Is that what you told us earlier? Have I understood you right?
Depending on whether members agree the council plan, the proposal within there is to have 3 priorities and to have 3 key indicators under those, which are actually an amalgamation. I'll give you an example. One of the indicators that we've been discussing is around timeliness of delivery of service. So you've got in here, I don't know how many, but I can certainly give you 2 examples. We've got timeliness of delivering housing benefits and local council tax support. We've also got timeliness of delivering planning. And actually, I think what matters as a council is that you can dig into the detail, but actually an overall indicator that actually amalgamates how well we are delivering our services against those ones that have a time limit on them is a much more effective way for us to report to you and be able to tell you what the trends are within that, rather than having to report on about 5 different indicators when you will be able to still see those indicators in Covalent. They'll all be there, but we'll be able to report it to you in a more effective way so that you can see how the trends are going, whereas it's very difficult to see that trend, for example, across this type of report. There's so many different indicators, and they're also different in here to each other. It's quite a difficult way actually to report performance to you effectively in line with our priorities, because the indicators are so different across the different priorities. So the information will still be available to you. We're just going to report the headlines in a different way to you.
And I believe there'll be member training on how to access that properly and understand it. So hopefully.
My plan is to publish the plan on the internet with a page and have all the links and the supporting strategies, so you actually have all of the delivery mechanism and the performance around the plan on a web page, so it's much more accessible, and so actually it's more open for the public as well, because at the moment those things live all over our website, but actually to pull all that together into one place and then report out the headlines from that for you, that's my dream.
Thank you, Claire. Do we have any other questions? Councillor Gardner.
This is following up Councillor Potter, well, towards one of Councillor Potter's points. All over this plan, there are confusing directions of arrows. What's that purple arrow mean? Because some figures go up and the arrow's down, and the other one, the figures go down and the arrow's up. Is it not correlated?
I think we refer to it as polarity, Will. And you in the indicators, you set whether it's good to be high or good to be low, and then the trend arrow tells you whether it's improving or getting worse. So it makes that. So if it's going down, it's a bad thing because you've said. If it's going down, you've said. Not really. Yeah. Right. If there's an indicator where it's good to be low, we tell it that. And so if it tells you the performance is dropping, it means it's going the wrong way with whatever its polarity is as an indicator. Does that make sense? Up arrows are good and down arrows are if we've set the polarity right in the indicator, which I think we have. Did I explain that very well? Will?
Since you're changing this, I don't think I'll pursue this much more because my brain hurts. But seriously, an interesting one about health. And this is page 28. Average absence last year for the public sector was 8.7 days. Has anybody done any studies on what statistically are people off for 8.7 days? In a normal population, that seems very high.
Yeah, these types of figures are taken from reports that are prepared by an organisation called the CIPD, which is the Chartered Institute for Personal Development. Thank you. And they do an annual report looking at all kinds of things related to attendance, and it's quite a big report, and it looks across all sectors and reasons for absence, and so that's what this information is taken from, and we use that as part of that to inform our thinking and the setting of the targets as well.
You've done nothing here that indicate the type of absenteeism or absences, shall I call it?
Are you asking in terms of we do that as a management team? Yes, we look at that regularly, and all of that information is within Covalent. We look by reason, and we look at long and short term, and we look at trends as well across. So yeah, we do look at that, but it's quite a lot of information to bring here, and also. You get into the sort of realms where someone might be able to identify themselves and that. So there's a sort of confidentiality around that. So we do look at that as a management team.
So, Councillor Duncan.
The report as it is at the moment has got quite a lot of stats on things that we haven't got too much control over. There are lots of things that are just almost big picture type things. When the revamp of this report happens, will it be more internal indicators of our performance? Is that no, don't worry. I was just generally speaking, is it going to be more focused on things that we can directly influence in terms of customer response time, our targets for housing, things like that? Is that more what we're going to be
I think
seeing?
The three that I'd given as illustrative, because if members don't agree with this plan, then I'll not do any more work on that, and we can think again. So they're there to say this is the types of things, and the proposal within the report is three priorities, and within and under those there's three key indicators for each. So I think from memory the growth one is about housing, homelessness, and a better growth type indicator than we've ever had, which it was something that came up through the CPC inspection, and we don't have any growth type indicators as you can see in this report, that are actually anything to do with us are all to do with out there. But, you know, it could be to do with attracting external funding. There's all manner of ways we could look at that. So that one he's looking at. But yes, so that one's about economy and and some housing ones in there. The one that's about customers and communities are around timeliness of service, the reach of whether we're actually, whether the right customers are using our services as well, because we could have wonderful statistics for people being really satisfied. Oh, satisfaction, that's another one. Being really satisfied with our services, but we may not actually be reaching the right customers. So that was the three there. And then the organisational ones are actually about bringing some forward from the financial management information that currently only goes to Resources Working Party, I think. And Pete and I have been discussing that actually there's some key indicators there around, I think it's income, salaries, because so much of our revenue budget, you know, it's 98% of what we spend is on staff. So actually performance against that salaries budget would be an interesting one we've put in there. And I can't quite remember the other one. But there's another one. So that it is very much more about managing, it's like management information around the organisation. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, members, if that's all questions. Thank you very much, Claire. I think that report is just for note for this evening. So moving on to our next item, which is an update on the scrutiny review, the current scrutiny review. Members may remember that we had terms of reference originally for the scrutiny review and then we had to revise them, because the decision was made to also include looking at the efficient running of meetings. So we have revised terms of reference, which Simon is going to introduce this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The terms of reference that are attached to the agenda, those of you who were at the last task group meeting will already have seen and had a chance to comment on. Basically, following the last meeting of full council, I went through the existing approved terms of reference and added in the relevant sections reference to the request to look at time management at full council meetings. And so that's referenced throughout. The terms of reference are here for any amendments and approval tonight. And then after the close of the formal committee, we've got another task group meeting to look at moving the review forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. I presume members have had a chance to look at the terms of reference. Do we have any comments on them? Do you need a couple of minutes, or shall we move to approve them? Silence? Am I taking this silence that members are happy with the terms of reference? Councillor Duncan?
I wasn't here at the task group meeting, so I apologise for that in advance. The what are the expected outputs box, am I right in thinking that there's going to be no recommendations or formal recommendations produced from whatever comes out of this review? Is that still the same, or was that slightly amended and with the revised terms of reference?
I'd in revising the terms of reference, I noted this committee's previous request that there aren't recommendations on meeting start times, and that you just wanted to present findings for PNR without a recommendation. I've not written them in a way that they preclude this committee making recommendations on how meetings could be run more efficiently. So if you want to do that, you can do. Equally, it doesn't say you must do. So that's been left fairly open.
No, that's great. Thank you for that clarification. Cheers.
Thank you. Councillor Sanderson.
Sorry, at point A, which says any member leaving a meeting early to notify the chairman when they depart and return their voting unit to the front of the room, and at the time of the departure to record it in the minutes. Is that all inclusive?
That was part of a recommendation that was approved at full council. In terms of the aims of the review, I've quoted sections from the minutes of full council. So that bit about if you're leaving early, full council has already approved that, but because the wording about the scrutiny review on the time management of meetings was wrapped up in that, I put it all as background effectively in the terms of reference, but we're not specifically looking at that point as part of the review.
It just seems to me that if we've got that in, what happens to someone if someone comes late?
That could be something that this committee could make a recommendation on, because full council hasn't made any reference to that in its decision.
And because we're really looking to stop people voting for other people when, you know, so that basically the microphone's not left. So people coming late could have the same problem as well. And then what happens if someone wants a comfort break? Do they take the speaker to the front, and do they have to notify the chairman? I mean, how tight are you going to get with all this?
I think when it had been debated previously, there had been a suggestion that where possible, when debates in progress, members avoid leaving the room for phone calls, coffees, comfort breaks, etc., and that there's sufficient adjournments in the meeting. That said, this scrutiny review isn't specifically about safeguards around voting. It's more around making best use of the time at meetings and trying to make sure maybe they don't go on as long or as late, which is why it got linked in with the start time. So this committee could, if it wanted, to make further comment on that matter, but it's not a central part of the remit of the review.
Thank you, Dirk. Sorry, Councillor Jarrett.
It does, when you look at it like this, and I'm sure your point is that it seems really petty. And I don't know whether it's something that happened previously, but it seems to me that it would be more appropriate to deal with something like that as a training issue and make it clear what the consequences would be if something like this was found out. I mean, I don't know whether it's happened before, but I don't recall that it was the seriousness of the issue or even guidelines were have been ever discussed in the training meeting that I've been to. And but I'll make sure that I put my hand up when I go to the toilet and ask permission in the future.
I don't think that was ever the intention, but I appreciate what you're saying. And I don't think any of us want to put our hands up when we go to the toilet. But it's, you know, it's for further discussion. So, yes, of course you may leave the room, Councillor. But as Simon's already said, we can look at these. A has been agreed by council, but there are other matters around that we can look at as part of this review. Councillor Duncan.
No, I was going to say, I'm right in thinking, aren't I, that we approved that A and B at full council. That's just there for information. Yeah.
Having had that little discussion, are people happy with the terms of reference as they stand? Yeah. I'll move those from the chair then. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. All those in favour, please show. No, because we're going to use that one for the task group. So. Okay, so that is, I believe, the end of the formal meeting, and we're now going to go into the task group. Apologies, I've missed the PNR minutes. Apologies. Yes, you have, because that's going to be over there. Yes, apologies about that. You've got the recommendations from the PNR meeting held on Thursday, the 23rd of March, and we just need to look at the decisions, the Part A decisions,
from that. Members, do we have any comment or otherwise they just are for? Just for noting.
Yep.
Really. We have no comments. But yes, it came through as separate papers, Councillor Cousins.
It's not very big.
No,
there's not much of it. It's quite. Right. I've got some, but not very much. Oh, Jeff's got those. Would you like some minutes? Do we have the minutes printed now? Yeah, do you want some printed minutes, Robert? I think Councillor Wainwright would like it.
If we've got one. Has everybody else got them? You've got them?
Are you all right?
Yeah. All right, okay. I don't know if Councillor Duncan wants some. He's looking.
Do we need
Councillor Duncan, do you need any minutes?
The minutes of P&R in case you want to call anything in. It's part A items.
Part A items.
Yeah. Not that I'm encouraging that at all.
No?
When you look at it, the start times are all over, aren't they? So
we're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet.
We're not quite there yet.
Well, just for noting.
Yes.
Nothing else, yeah. Okay, members, if we're happy with those, can we just note those and move on, and if there is anything that anybody wants to raise? Doesn't look like it. Okay, thank you. I have no other urgent business, so we'll close this meeting now, okay, and move on to the task group.